Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be here at Oak Grove Baptist. I'm from Oak Grove, Louisiana, so ain't nothing like it. Well, I don't know if that's good or bad, brother. This morning, I want to show you a few slides, a few pictures, and then I'll share with you out of the Word something. When we went back to Malawi, October 2006, we was trying to get our house and get our place set up. And you see in the picture here, we was drilling a water well. And you can go to the next picture. We started adding on to a small house that we had already had. We added on a kitchen. You can go to the next picture and an extra bedroom. Okay, let's stop right here. Here you'll see in this picture to your right, you'll see that there's a tower there. Well, that's a water tower, and our house is to the left there. You can go to the next picture. We put a water tank on top of the tower from where the pump was drilled, and the pump was put down in the ground. It pumps into the tower, and then gravity flows into the house. You can go to the next picture. And here was the finish of that. This was the finishing of our house. Then Tia made me plant grass, and there it looks looks a little better. And so it took us about 4 months to just get home set up with. We did have the bribe. I will say I bribed somebody to to hook up the electricity, and so we did that. Got the water in our house. Got the water in our house, and just got life set up good. And the Lord really blessed us to do all of that. And so during those 4 months when we was getting the house ready, there was a Malawian man who had spent time in prison. He became a Christian in prison, and he said, why don't you go with me to the prisons to preach? And I said, yeah, we can go. And so we went to the big man's prison, as they say. And the prison was supposed to hold 800 prisoners, but there were 4,000 there. And so it was a little bit crowded and everything. But I just didn't feel the Lord lead me there. It was a great ministry. It was great. It was great to preach. I just didn't feel the Lord lead me there. And then on the way home, he said, why don't you try the juvenile prisons? I said, Malawi has juvenile prisons. He says, yes, there's two of them in the central region close to where we live. I said, let's go. Went to the first prison. Go next picture. This was the first juvenile prison. Now, the boys are from 12 to 22. All right, so them age ranges are a bit strange. I think once you get up about 16, 17, especially 18, you're pretty much a man. You make your own decisions there. But 12 to 22, and this was a farm prison. They're holding up Bibles. We was able to buy Bibles for them. We go every Wednesday to this prison and preach. You can go to the next picture. This farm prison has about 40 acres of land where they farm corn. They have vegetable garden. They have about 30 pigs. They have 3 fish ponds. So the life, the standard is pretty nice. Here we are outside with the prisoners, just taking a picture. The guy next to me is the man in charge. And there's a very good relationship there. These boys, for when it comes to soap and toothpaste and the toilet paper and those type of things, the government doesn't give it to them. The relatives have to bring it to them. And the prison also has to be self-sustaining. There's no aid coming to them. They have to grow it, raise it, and produce it. And to me, I thought it was a good system. The boys were pretty much happy. And so we started there for about 2 months at this prison. And then we went to the second juvenile prison. And y'all, it was not like this one. It was bad. They had about 250 boys. And there's 9 cells. And they're in there together. These are where they keep their murderers and their rapists and their pedophiles and so forth. And when you would go in the first 3 weeks that we was preaching in this prison, you could tell it was very hard ground to preach to. Them boys were bad boys and had some demonic presence upon them. Go to the next picture. This was Christmas time. We gave them some goats and rice. They wanted that for Christmas. You can go to the next picture. Okay, stop right there then. I'm ahead of myself. The prison inside the city where it was just bad boys, they searched you. You couldn't take a camera, couldn't take pictures, you couldn't do anything like that. we preached along there, and the first couple of months that we preached, you could tell there was not a lot of boys that were excited that, you know, they had to sit out there and listen to someone preach. But one day something happened, and it was a good thing that what happened. It was raining. And the courtyard is about as big as this sanctuary, and their cells are just in the wall on the sides. And so when I show up, they just come out of their cells, and they would sit in the on the concrete, and you preach to them. Well, one day it was raining real hard, and I told the prison lady that was in charge, I said, "Ma'am, I don't see how we're going to preach today because it's raining." And one of the guards walked in and said, "I bet you won't go inside the cell with them." And I said, "I bet you I will too, because that's what I'm here for. I don't care what I got to do." I said, "If you'll let me go inside the cell, each cell, I'll preach to them boys." They said, "We'll see. So let's go." So we went. They opened that first prison cell, and that's when I seen them boys were packed in there together. And it was so packed, we just stood in the doorway and just preached the gospel. And I went to each cell. All nine cells. After about the third cell, I had my sermon down pretty good, you know. And we was getting going good after, you know. And but look, after that day, I don't know, that I think it meant something to the boys that I could do that, or I did that. And I'm not bragging on myself, but I'm just saying that they began to open up more. And you could tell there was a break in the spirit, and things were going well when we would come. And oh man, it was just much better. Up to the point on the last, I told him I was coming back to the States for a little bit. One of the boys raised their hand. He says, "I got something to say." I said, "Well, you're free." He said, I'm a South African." He said, "But I'm did some bad things here in Malawi, and so I'm in prison here." He said, "But I am a Muslim." He said, "But I look forward to you coming every week to preach to us." And folks, for a Muslim to stand up and say, "I look forward to you coming," that is something. And for him to do that by himself, I thought, praise God. He said, "I'll be looking forward to it when you come back." I said, "Brother, I'll be coming back." You know, and that was just shows the power of God, how the power of God can change the hearts of people. All right, so we go to two juvenile prisons. This is us outside doing some ministry in a particular village. We're heavy on my heart. It's about 2 hours south of us drive, but there's really no church, and local moonshine alcohol is what's made there, and they like to drink it. You can go to the next picture. This was us at some churches. There's been a lot of invitations open for us to go to different churches and minister and all around the long way there. You can go to the next picture. This was us inside the city center of the area where all the high-up class people work for the embassies, the UN, and they'll come out of their offices for prayers. And we was able to go and preach to them for the whole week, 12 to 1. Here in this picture, don't look like much, but for time's sake, I'll cut this story very, very short. Behind those double doors there, that was the surgery room where I had my appendix taken out. And it was a wonderful time. But but we made it through it, and I'm alive and well. And my appendix was preserved in a little jar that was given to my wife, and which was very interesting. But the doctor, let me tell y'all this, and my brother over here will like this. We went into that surgery room, and I was bent over hurt. And just, oh, it was paining. And he said, "Take all your clothes off." So I took all the clothes off, and he seen, you know, everything. And I looked up at him, and he had on white rubber boots on. And I thought, look at this Cajun man, got his shrimp boots on. He going to do surgery on me. So that's why I brought today some prayer cards. I want y'all to take a prayer card and pray for me, amen. But we made it through. That time of the year last year, I had the appendix out. We birthed Elijah, our last and final child, and our truck broke down, and that new water pump that we put down went out, and all four of these just happened at one time. But I look back and say, how did we make it through it? But God was good, amen. Go to the next picture. Here we are. It was several years ago that the Lord began to deal with me about the local pastors in Malawi. There's so many local pastors that are called, that have the calling of God on their life, but do not have the education to go to a seminary or the finances to go to a seminary. And that was something laid upon my heart for some time ago, to help train these men, to help be there and encourage these men. And what I found out about a lot of these pastors, they're just looking for someone to help them, be there with them, pray with them, teach them, and come alongside of their ministry. So we begin to, this vision began to come to pass. Here we are digging the foundations for the Bible school, which is just next to our house. You can go to the next picture. Here we are putting the bricks down for the foundation. Here we are leveling the ground. They like to pour the slab last. I don't like doing that. And I think we used to do that here in America years ago. Here we are mixing the concrete, and you got to go get everything, the rocks and the sand and the cement. You get it together, mix it. You can go to the next picture. Wheelbarrow by wheelbarrow, you pour the slab and get you a couple guys together and get it done. As you can see in the far background, there's the water tower. There, my house is right up there. So just next door, just right there to me. Go to the next picture. This is where we stop, and we're believing the Lord to finish the Bible school this year and the dormitories this year. And somewhere about April next year, 2019, we want to start this Bible school. The vision and the plan is to take the pastors in two weeks out of the month for 3 years, with the first year being basic Bible doctrine. Who's Jesus? Who's God? The doctrine of the Scriptures and so forth, just basic Bible doctrine. And then the second year being a practical type thing where we teach them on marriage and how to perform a marriage, and teach them on communion and how to perform communion, teach them about counseling and ministering, pastoral ministry within their church. And the third year we want a vocation where they can learn how to sew or bricklay or do solar connections, a big thing there now, something that they can do with their hands to help support themselves. So that is the vision and the plan. Amen. Go to the next picture. Here's the dormitories. We was raising about 3,000 chickens, laying chickens, but we got put out of business by some other men that came in and built very large poultry farms, and they added about 1.5 million chickens to the country's supply. They were controlling the price, and we couldn't keep up. And so, but we was also praying for a dormitory. We just praying for a dormitory, and we wasn't making it with that chicken business. And the next thing you know, we sold all the chickens, and one day I was standing in that chicken house, and just big, long chicken house, and I thought, now, what am I going to do with this place? And it was as the Lord was saying, here's the dormitory that I want you, that you've been praying for. I want you to put it right here. So we begin to divide off, and here's showers and toilets. Not finished. You can go to the next. Here's some rooms, and one room. There's another room and showers and toilets for ladies' side. My wife is wanting to bring in these pastors' wives and do some small training with them. And also we're planning to receive some mission teams from the States. If people feel led of the Lord to come over, this will be kind of a camp style setup with bunk beds and so forth. And go to the next picture. We won't talk too much here. These are not your relatives, but anyway. This is kind of what Malawians believe in. Not all of them. It's getting less and less for the glory of the Lord. They believe these guys are ancestral spirits that come out of the graveyard. And let's go to the next picture. That some of them do some worship there. In case some of you want a Sunday dinner, I brought some dessert here on this picture. And these are some rats that people like to eat in Malawi. I stopped on side road and just took a picture. And I said, I handed the guy the camera. I said, I'll take my picture. Anyway, so you go to the next picture. Like I said, we birthed Elijah in somebody's house. Tia did there, and that's her laying there. Go to the next picture. This was Elijah when he was a day old. Elijah was born a month early, and they might have missed a due date over there. I don't know, but he was born a month early, and he was 10 pounds, 3 ounces. And my wife almost died on me there them last couple months of pregnancy. But anyway, but the funniest thing about when Elijah was born, Tia's grandmother come out of the bush, come out of the village, and she came to the, and she's always been there, and she's just a wonderful woman. Just, man, just a wonderful woman. She was holding Elijah, and she looked at him, she looked at me, and she says, Lucas, because he was big and everything, and everybody's talking about it, she was holding it, says, Lucas, you a man. I said, oh, yes, thank you. I'm a man. And so that was a good moment in my life. Okay, you can go to the next picture. Tia learned how to make apple pie. Go to the next picture. She learned how to make cinnamon rolls. You can go to the next picture. And there's a market inside the capital city once a month. It's an international market. People from all over the world. People, I didn't even know there was that many white people or international type people in Malawi. But there's a bunch of them. So Tia, we go. She loves it. She sells apple pie and cinnamon rolls there. Get a little money on the side. And one man, a fellow from California, came up to our table. What's inside apple pie? And I said, what? He said, what's inside apple pie? I said, there's cow patties and all kind of other things inside that thing. He just walked off. I said, bless your heart, you know. Okay. A German lady walked up and said, who's going to eat the whole thing? And I said, I can eat that whole thing. But anyway, you go to the next picture. And when the truck broke down, we rode around in one of these things for a while. It helped your prayer life and different things, you know. This is our neighbor. She's a Muslim lady. Hannah and my wife went. They went to hand her a proclaimer. There was a guy from Assembly of God Church sent me 10 proclaimers. And a proclaimer just reads the Bible to you. But it can be solar charged or battery charged, or you can wind it up. Muslim people are very difficult to reach. Very tough to reach. And so that's why I sent my wife and my little girl. And they went and gave her a proclaimer. And she came back a couple weeks later and said, I've been listening to the Bible, the Holy Bible. I've been listening to it. And I said, praise God. And so we're praying that one day she'll come back and say, I'm born again. Amen. Go next picture. Okay, now that was Malawi. I'm going to shift to another country on you, the country of Namibia. It'll be northwest of South Africa. Namibia is a very open style type country. How can I say this? It's not very populated. It's not very populated, I can say. But there's a tribe up in the northwest corner close to Angola border called the Himba people. And the Himba people are semi-nomadic. They're moving around. And I went in 2012, and I was able to share the gospel with these people and everything. And so I'm going back this year in August. Go to the next picture. Here they are out there. That was their little house with a cow skin hung over top of it. You can go to the next picture. That lady is holding a saddle there. The interpreter, who was also our driver, he said he knew where he was going, but we got lost. I don't care what he said. We got lost. We found this lady that the prior night before. We found her by the fire. Was able to share the gospel. Yeah, you can go to the next picture. Here's another lady beside the road. You can go to the next picture. These were what they believed in, that fire right there. They called that fire holy fire, and only the elders in the village would light it. And they say that fire would please the ancestral spirits. If there was a funeral, if there was a problem, if there was sickness or something, they'd light that fire up. And but we was able to preach the gospel right over the fire. These people were not as welcoming, not as friendly as Malawian people. These people, one family asked me this, and it's a little bit funny, but it's very sad in a sense. One family asked me, says, this man, Jesus, is he a man that lives in your country of America that hired you to come over here to tell us about it? I said, no, not exactly. These people had no clue who Jesus was. One family, because they're herders, they keep all kind of animals. One family asked me, is Jesus a type of cow, like a Brahma or Afrikaner or something like that? I said, no, he's not. That's why I'm just praying. Go back and make some way to be able to tell them the gospel. Go to the next picture. Let's see what we got. These are some of the roads, some of the area there. Here's another picture. I remember this particular morning we woke up, They loved to take pictures. The women did. The men didn't. There wasn't too many pictures with the men, but the women did. And this woman had cow skin hung over around her, and it was kind of cool that morning. She had that cow skin over. And I held that camera up, and when I held that camera up, she just took that cow skin and flipped it off of her. And I thought, oh, and then she was all standing there. So then we took us a picture together, amen. Go to the next picture. These are some of the animals that they got. There's a funny story behind them milking them goats, and we had to eat that. But anyway, we survived. This is one of their houses. Now, they would put up something like this, and then they would travel on. Then they come back sometime later with their animals, just kind of looking for feed and water. They just kind of moving. And then if they came up across one that was already standing, they just stay the night in there. Go to the next picture. This is what I stayed in. And at the airport, they took away my MREs, my food. And I said, please, I'll give you money. I'll give you clothes. I'll give you anything. Don't take away the food. But they took away the food from me. And so I had to suffer for a little bit. But we did drink a lot of other stuff. So we'll be going back in August. And I encourage you, if you would, take a prayer card and pray for me and my wife and our kids as we do the prison ministry in Malawi, as we do the Bible school and getting that prepared. As I go in August, and I am looking for someone to go with me. If any of y'all want to go on a little vacation, we can go out there to those people and live in a tent, not eat nothing, not take a bath, not brush your teeth or anything. But we will tell the gospel, amen? That's important. And there's a town, somewhat of a town. Looks about like Iris, you know, where you're around in here, about that big. I'm praying, and I want y'all to pray with me, please. I'm praying for somebody, whether it be a Malawian, whether it be whoever, I don't care. Somebody could live in this town and go out and minister to these people. You know, take a week at a time or something, you know, and come back in and recover. I'm just praying. These people need the gospel. You're not going to be able to plant a church because they're constantly running around. But I'm praying for that. So take a prayer card. Pray for us. As one man said, I visit the refrigerator the most, so I'll put it there and I'll pray for you when I go to the refrigerator. Amen. There's also, if you want to be on a newsletter, I send out a newsletter every so often. You can sign up your email there if you want to know what's going on. Well, amen. Thank you so much. If you would, turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter number 11. Thank you, honey. We celebrated Friday, this past Friday. We celebrated 5 years of marriage. Amen? Man, it's been a good 5 years. Can't believe it's been 5 years. Somebody told me, I think he went back to the children's church. They've been married 45 years. I said, man, you've been married about twice as long as I am old. But anyway, so well, that's good. That's a good thing. Amen? Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, we're going to start in verse number 1. Last year, the Lord just began to deal with me and my wife about prayer and how important it is in our lives. Folks, as a church, if we want to see the power of God move, if we want to see the Lord, if we want to see His power displayed, we're going to have to be people of prayer. Tonight when VBS comes, there are going to be some kids that come in here, maybe never been to church, or just here and there they're hit and miss. A prayer-filled person, a spirit-filled person, a prayer-filled place, so that the Spirit of God can move on their hearts. Amen?
Right.
Look what the Bible says in Luke 11, verse number 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, yeah, y'all can stand up. That's what they did in the book of Nehemiah. And when they all stood up. Luke 11, verse number 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Let's pray this morning. Lord, as we look at Luke chapter 11, I pray for the Spirit of God to reveal truth to us. I pray, Father, today that, Lord, we would be people of prayer, people that seek you in prayer, people that desire you and labor in prayer. And, Lord, help me today to speak only your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus was praying somewhere. And the Bible says that when he stopped, when he ceased, then the disciples came and asked him a question. I think it was something to watch Jesus pray. In my personal opinion, I believe that Jesus was somewhere praying and the disciples were just kind of standing back watching him. And they seen something when he was praying that made them have a desire to say, teach us how to pray. They didn't dare go over while he was praying and say, hey, show me how to do this. No. I believe when Jesus Christ prayed, it was a serious time in his life. I believe that when Jesus Christ prayed, he was focused on the Father, that his mind was not running here and there, but yet he was focused on one thing, communication and fellowship with the Father. And the Bible says that they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Why didn't they ask, teach us how to perform miracles? Teach us how to raise the dead. Teach us how to heal. Teach us how to lay hands on the blind. You know, but instead they asked, teach us how to pray. This morning, church, our prayer as believers in Christ should be, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how we can communicate with our Father. How we can have fellowship with our Heavenly Father as you are doing. You know, prayer is one of the most important things in the life of a Christian, in the life of a church, but it's one of the least things that we do. We do more singing than we do praying, and I'm for singing, I love it. We do more preaching than we do praying, and I love preaching, I'm doing it right now. Listen, what we have got to do as people of God is get upon our faces in personal prayer. I will tell you right now, the battle is already won or lost in prayer before the man of God gets up to preach, before the man of God gets up to sing. It is already won or lost depending upon if his people got upon their faces and prayed. Amen. We must be a church and people of prayer. The only way we're going to see the power of God move in our churches is if we become people of prayer and say, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us, Lord. Let's look at something here in verse number 5. Verse number 5, Luke 11. It's very interesting. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, is coming to me, and I have nothing to set before him. So here is a man. He's got a friend that comes and he was, I guess, passing by, and he has a friend that stops, and apparently the friend had a hunger issue and he needed to give him some food. And he says, well, I ain't got nothing in the house. So he goes to his other neighbor and he begins to knock on his door at midnight and he begins to ask for 3 loaves of bread. Look what the friend hollers back at him. Verse 7, and he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give you. In other words, his friend said, quit knocking on my door. I'm asleep. Now get. I ain't got nothing for you. Oh, well, that's a pretty good friend, ain't it? Listen, this man, it says in verse number 8, it says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will arise and give him as many as he needs. Listen, this is talking about being persistent in our prayer lives. How many times do we begin to pray for something and we don't see nothing moving or nothing happening and we just say, well, maybe, we just forget about it. Listen, be persistent in your prayers at church. When you're praying for your children, it seems maybe you're praying for a child that just keeps going down the wrong road, and you keep praying and keep praying. Don't give up. Be persistent in prayer, amen? When you're praying something specifically in your life and a need in your life, don't give up. Keep praying. Keep seeking God in prayer. The Bible says that he didn't get up and give him because he was for his friend. He gave up and gave him because he just kept knocking. He just kept going. He just kept seeking and asking and knocking. He just kept on and kept on. Why did the man keep asking and knocking? What was driving this man so hard to ask and to keep knocking on the door? The answers in verse 6. He realized, he says, I have nothing to set before him. He realized that he had nothing within himself that he could offer. If we as believers will begin to understand that we have nothing to offer, that we are empty, that we can't do church without God. We can't do ministry without God. We can't preach the Word of God without God. We can't do VBS without God. We have nothing, and we are in complete need of Him. If we will see that we're in need of Him, then we will begin to knock. We will begin to ask. When we begin to see that this situation that we may be going through, or this relative or this child or something, is keeps getting worse and worse, and we've given our advice, we have said this, we have tried this, and we begin to realize we have nothing to offer besides one thing. That is, look unto our Lord, from whence cometh our help. And begin to pray, begin to ask, begin to knock, begin to seek His face. And look what the Bible says. He asked for 3 loaves, but in verse number 8 it says, He gave him as many as he needs. That's a good God, folks. How many did he get? He got as many as listen, God knows what you're in need of, amen. God knows what your desire in your heart, and He's going to give you as many as you need, because He's a good Father that answers prayers. Child of God, be persistent in your prayer life. Don't give up. Make it a point in your life each and every day that you will say, I'm going to set this time aside for personal, private prayer. Jesus Christ, in the book of Mark chapter 1, He went out for personal prayer. Always. Luke chapter 5, verse 6-12, He went out for prayer, all night in prayer. He'd go up to the mountain for prayer. Listen, we too need time for personal and private prayer with the Lord. Look what the Bible says, verse 9. I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. There's no time limit there. Asking, seeking, knocking. There's no time limit. And what I found in my personal prayer life is that the more I seek and knock and ask, the more I learn about God. The more He reveals to me, your anger issue needs to go. Your gossip issue needs to go. Amen? When we begin to seek God, and we begin to seek God, He begins to show us who we are. And the Bible says, verse 10, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. There's a promise. He that seeketh, findeth. There's a promise. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. There's a promise. Now we'll close with these verses here. I love these verses. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? So he says, if there's a father and a son says, Father, give me a piece of bread. Which father would give him a stone? Nobody would. Very few of us in this building would. If the son should ask, Father, give me a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Verse 12. Or if the son asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? No, even us, we know how to bless our kids. Amen. Look at verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit unto them that ask Him? Amen. Listen, church, this morning, if you need a touch from God, He's a good Father. You get on the altar, go home, get on by your bed, or do whatever you got to do. Don't give up in your prayer life. Say, Father, I need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit in my life. Father, I need another touch. I want to see something different in my life. The Bible says, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit unto them that ask Him? How much asking have you been doing, child? Listen, if you want to see God move in this church in a powerful way, it's going to come through the people of God praying. It's going to come through the people of God, getting on their knees and weeping before the Lord and just asking God, move one more time. Me personally, I am tired of reading about the first and second great awakening and Jonathan Edwards and George Whitfield and all these guys. I want to see the move of God in my lifetime. I want to see God move one more time across the United States. But it's going to take the children of God, the people of God, falling upon their faces and asking God to move. Amen. How's your prayer life this morning, church? How's your personal, private life of prayer? I just want to encourage you this morning. Be people of prayer. Seek Him in prayer. Let your prayer be, Lord, teach us how to pray. Let's all stand. We're going to have a hymn of invitation. And I'm going to give it over to y'all's pastor. Heavenly Father, this morning, I thank you that you're so good to me. Lord, I pray you teach me how to pray, Father. Teach me how to intercede. Teach me how to labor in prayer. Father, help me to be conscious and be a person that makes a decision each and every day, whether it be wake up early in the morning or lunchtime or noon or wherever, to pray, to seek you. Lord, I pray, Father, for Oak Grove Baptist Church. Lord, the support that they send monthly, I'm thankful and I praise you for that, Lord. Lord, I pray for Brother Neil as he ministers, as he labors here. I pray you give him wisdom and strength. I pray for the church family here, Father, protection from the enemy. I pray, Father, that this church would be set afire, walking in the glory of God, walking in the will of God, seeking the face of God. I pray for this community, Father. You draw people to this church, Father. Lord, bring people to this church, Lord, that they may be saved and know your truth. Father, this week, VBS will go on. I pray, God, for the Spirit of the Lord to move on the VBS, Lord. Every single child, Father, would see the grace and the power of God and that they would cry out to you in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, Father, this week in VBS, no work of the enemy would prosper in Jesus' name. I pray for every worker to be Spirit-filled, to answer every question from every child with grace and love. I pray, Father, this week, souls to be saved, children to see you, and Lord, be glorified. We worship you, Father. Thank you for your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.